then you are likely and you will be given all these feelings. And the more you perform, the more you worship, the more you are satisfied and secure. When you are isolated from Allah, then you can do anything. You can pray countless rak'ahs and you won't feel anything anyway. Because you're not getting the output.
You see, worship is like input and output. You input something. The act itself, the physical act, and the feeling behind it. The belief in it. That's what you input, that's what you give, the effort. And Allah will give you the output. The satisfaction, the blessing. What they call halawatul iman. The sweet taste in your mouth. The sweet taste in your heart. After you pray. After you donate charity. After you fast. The feeling that you're happy with what you've done. This feeling is giving because you basically fulfill the fundamental cause of your creation. You were created to worship Allah. And if you worship Him, then you are fulfilling what you have been created to do. Then He is happy with you and He will give you the satisfaction that you are doing the right thing. If you're not connected to Him, think of it as a mobile phone that has a SIM card, a charged battery, but it is not connected to the network, to the operator. Then you can use the phone to store data, maybe to play games, but it is not fulfilling its fundamental role, which is to make phone calls. This is your heart. Your heart is meant to be filled with iman. If your heart is the battery, then you charge it with faith, with iman. You charge it to the, you connect it to the source of faith, of iman, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the heart will function and the body will function. And life itself will have a meaning. But not connecting your heart, then the battery will be flat sooner or later. Then there will be that feeling of emptiness. Then there will be that question, what's the meaning of my life? Why do I live? And a human being can have all the wealth in the world, could have everything he desires, and yet he will not feel any taste of it. Why? Because he's not being given that taste. Why? Because he's not fulfilling the purpose of his creation. That's why jafaful qalb is a very serious issue. Now, to answer to that, how do we solve this issue? We ask another question, a very principal question. Why are we Muslims in the first place? Why do we believe in Allah? Why do we follow Islam? Why not another religion? Why do we pray 5 times a day? Why not 4? Why not 15? Why? I would say 99% will say, I believe, I worship because I'm taught to do that. I was born Muslim and I was taught to believe in Allah and I'm a Muslim by default. Okay, that makes life easier because then you don't have to worry about why, but you worry about how to pray, how to do this, how to do that. That's in one hand a blessing, but it comes with a handicap. The worship becomes something we take for granted. So, we know we're Muslims, we're happy because of that, and then whether we pray or not, whether we practice the worship itself, it becomes irrelevant. Later, never mind. Yeah, I'm a Muslim, I know that. Come to pray, yeah, I'll pray later. Because you're a Muslim by default and you take it for granted. The very few of us who will say, I'm a Muslim because that's what I want to be. I had a problem with myself, I was not a Muslim, I wasn't happy with my life, I had some questions, I seek for answers, I compared, I analyzed, and I said spot on, Islam is what I want. Islam is what I need. Then I am chose to become a Muslim. The very few who did that are the luckiest. Because they are less likely to have that problem, the drought in their heart. Why? Because they are then challenged and tested on daily basis to prove that what they did was right, that their choice is correct. They know the value of what they have. They know why, how precious it is to be a Muslim. Because they know how it was not to be a Muslim. But when you don't know how it is not to be a Muslim, you don't know how valuable Islam itself is. You don't know how precious the praise becomes, all these acts of worship. The example of those who chose Islam is the example of Salman al-Farisi. Brothers, please, would you come forward and come closer because we're running out of space at the back. Please come closer and get together. Salman al-Farisi is a good example. Why? Because his story, a famous one you probably all know. Briefly, he was born in Persia for a father who was the keeper of the holy fire. They worshipped the fire, the holy fire, and they maintained it. But he wasn't happy. He knew that fire does not do him anything, good or bad. He wasn't satisfied. He kept asking questions. Why this fire? What does it do? What doesn't it do? Until he met a Christian who introduced him to Christianity. He accepted it. It was much better than worshipping fire. He followed him. He escaped. He ran from Persia. And he remained with Christians until that person died and told him that there is a new prophecy, a new prophet coming, a new prophecy that will seal all the prophecies before. A new messenger with a new message that you, Salman, should find and follow. Salman did a lot of searching. In the way he was captured and sold as a slave, he ended up in Medina working for a Jew, waiting for the prophet to come, for the messenger to come. He finally met him. He confirmed that this is the prophet. He followed him. Allah rewarded him with wisdom. He was known among the Sahaba for being very wise. They would listen to him. He was rewarded for his search. That's why one day he was the subject of a dispute between the Sahaba in Medina. Ansar, those who were people of Yathrib of Medina, claimed that Salman was one of them, because he was there when the Prophet came. They want to claim the honor of having Salman as an Ansari. Muhajirin said, no. We immigrated, he also immigrated, we all ended up here. So he is a Muhajir. Each side trying to claim the honor. The Prophet came with a solution and he gave Salman the ultimate honor. He said, Salmanu minna, Ahlul Bayt. Salman is from us, Ahlul Bayt. The highest honor any Sahaba, anyone can reach one day, to become of Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because of that search, because of that wisdom he gained, because of the effort he put. So, to say that I'm Muslim because I chose to, because I know this is the right thing, is very precious. To know why, first it will enable you to worship properly and correctly. Then it will resolve the problem with that drought in the heart. So this is what we are all, what we should all be trying to get. This is the level what we want to achieve. To be Muslims, not by default, but because this is what we believe in. This is what we find right to do. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of us with some, let's say, default settings. Just like any manufacturer would do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with us. He gave us His fitrah. Fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. The nature. That is written in the genetic code of each and every one of us, which is to be prepared to worship, to believe in Him and be prepared to worship Him. That's why people worship. Those who don't worship God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will create something from stone, from wood, but they will still worship it. They will find an animal and they will worship it. Because people need to worship. That's how they were created to do. That's why even those who claim they don't believe in anything, when they are met with a challenging experience, life-threatening, what do? They go back to their basics and they say, God, help me. If a plane is crashing, if a ship is sinking, what do they all say? God, help me. Because that's how we are all created. That's why we are all prepared by default to worship a God. A religion itself, a set of rules and regulations that are meant to tell you what to do and how to do. Allah gave you hands, gave you legs, gave you eyes, gave you everything. But a religion tells you what to do with them, how to use them, what not to do. A religion would answer your questions. How to do this, how not to do that. Just like if you purchase a machine, it will come with an instruction guide that says how to operate. This machine should be used. This is what you shouldn't do. It will give you troubleshooting if things go wrong. This is what a religion is meant to do. To do all that. To tell you what to do and what not to do. How to live. That's why people have religions. Different religions. But they have to have a religion. Now, if you buy, let's say, a computer, a PC, it comes with an operating system. You see, the PC comes with, let's see, DVD drive, it comes with a graphic card, it comes with a mouse, with everything. But without the operating system, the PC is useless. It will become very difficult to use the PC and get the most of it. You need the operating system to be able to use it. This is the religion for us. It's just like an operating system for our existence, for our bodies, for our hearts, for our souls. What to do and what not to do. Allah created us with that default nature, which is worship Him and the basic knowledge of right and wrong. That's why if you give a food even to an animal, to a cat, it will come and take it from you. But if it will steal the food, it will run away from you. Because it knows that it's wrong to do that. That's why people know by default what's right and wrong. When left to their own nature, to the original nature, it's easy to worship Allah and to basically do the right things. That's why children who are the closest to the nature are easy to accept a religion, God, and how to worship Him. You don't have a trouble teaching a child how to worship Allah. You tell him God is there, he says fine. That's the nature. It hasn't been corrupted yet. Now, as far as Islam is just another operating system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manufacturer, kept sending messages, messengers, prophets, with books, just like an upgrade to the operating system. And then he one day said, okay, there will be a final upgrade, the latest operating system that will not be replaced anymore. And that's it. I recommend, I advise, I order all the users to start using it. Some people will still use the old operating system. It works for them. They have no problem with it. Just like those who use Windows XP and use Windows 95. Both systems would still work. But if the manufacturer says, I want you to use this one, he knows why. He knows what changes he made. And he definitely knows that it's better for you. It's easier for you. Yet, some people still choose to be Christians or Jews or whatsoever. It doesn't mean that they will not live an okay life. That system probably still works. Only that, until they use the new system, they'll never know the difference. Alhamdulillah for us, we already have it. So, it's just a question of how to do the most of it. Inshallah, in the next khutbah, we will talk about how to solve this problem with jafaf al-qalb. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولكم فاستغفروه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الله أجمعين وعلى آله أما بعد. فإنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. As a Muslim, we are meant to achieve taqwa, righteousness. To do that, we have to perform the acts of worship. Now, the problem is when it's hard to perform, when it's boring, when it's meaningless, when you don't feel it. You know now the problem. You know now that your heart is probably as dry as a stone in a desert. You need to do something with it. Your battery is flat. You need to charge it. So how do we do that? The basic thing is to connect to the operator, to connect to the source of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will give you the joy, but He will give it to you as a reward when you input, when you put the effort, when you do something, when you come closer, then He will accept what you do and He will reward you. The first reward will be that feeling of satisfaction and happiness. So, what you're trying to do is to restore that sweetness, that taste, that happiness that you should feel whenever you do something good. You stand and pray. After you pray, you feel Alhamdulillah, you're satisfied. You give charity, you smile. You fast, and when it's time to break fast, you say Alhamdulillah. That feeling, that sweetness, that's what you want. You can do that by a number of ways. Lord, please come closer. Please keep coming closer and try and get closer to each other. There are a number of ways of doing that. The first way is to look at the worship not as a heavy, boring obligation, but as a need. That's something you need to do. Each and every one of you would go to work or go to school because he needs to. You don't complain when you go to work. Maybe you do, but you still go to work. because you need the money. You don't complain when you go to school and when you study because you need the degree. That should be the situation with the worship that we do. We must understand that we need Allah in our everyday life. If you try to start the engine of your car and it doesn't run, you will need Allah to help you run it. If you're going for an exam tomorrow, you will need Allah to enable you to pass the exam. If you're going to work, you need Allah to give you health, to be able to go to work. If you don't have a work, you need Allah to give you work. So you need Allah for anything and everything. Just keep that in mind. And when it's time to pray, say to yourself, okay, what will happen if I don't pray? Allah will not be happy with me. Allah will be upset with me. And there is a very high possibility that Allah will not give me, you know, the job I want, or I will not pass my exam, or I will not be healthy, I will fail, I will this, I will that. Keep all that into your mind, and you will be motivated to stand and go to pray. Because then you know that you need Allah. If you don't do that, He won't do something good for you. Keep that need in your heart, every time. Remember that you need Allah on daily basis in anything and everything. Which means you should worship Allah on daily basis too. If you stop, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلَّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. Allah will not walk away from you, will not stop blessing you, will not stop giving you all the good things unless you stop. If you stop putting the feeling into it, the desire, the happiness while you're doing it, if you don't do that, Allah will simply take the blessing off from you. So you don't just stand and pray, but you do it like you like it, like you want to, because you want to. Give an example of a father and a son. The father says to his son, I want you to do this. The son doesn't care. What would the father do? Either punish him, or probably he will not give him his pocket money, or something like that. Then the son will remember that, okay, I need my father for the pocket money. Then he will apologize and do what his father says. He will still forget tomorrow or the day after. But because of the need, he will always come back to his father. Think of it like that. You don't worship Allah today, but you will need Him tomorrow. Because you know you need Him, then keep worshipping Him. Another thing, think of the wisdom of the worship itself. You will find that it's at the end of the day for your good. Praying is meant to help you organize your time, organize your life, get some discipline into your life. Fasting is meant to increase and strengthen your will. If you fast, you will have a stronger will. You have a stronger will, you control your body. Then you can do what you're supposed to do. Think of the wisdom behind the things that you do. Praying is like a sport for the body itself, for the muscles of the back, the muscles of the stomach, for the blood circulation. It's good for everything. Think of that. Fasting is good, it's healthy for the body itself. It was proved that doing good things makes people feel better. That's why people who donate, who make charity, generally are smiley, are happier. That's a fact. You can do it and yet guarantee a reward from Allah at the hereafter. So think of the wisdom of what you do. Why you do it, okay? Not because Allah needs your prayer. You need the prayer. Not because Allah needs your charity. You need the charity. So if you're sitting one day bored, you know, finding that it's, you know, you're not feeling well, pick up the phone, you know, call Muslim Hands and say, listen, I wish to donate £20 to support an orphan. They'll do it over the phone. Less than a few minutes, you're done. And see what's going to happen to you. If not the same day, the day after. You will feel better. You will feel it. I guarantee you will feel it. Just try it. If you find, you know, you're feeling down, just take the book, open it, read it. If you can't read, just look at it. It's worship too. And you will feel the difference. Because Allah said, if you come closer to me, I will come even closer to you. You take one step, Allah will take more steps. That's the whole idea. Another thing, you may do something good now, but tomorrow back to normal. You might pray 5 times today, but tomorrow 3. The day after, 0. Then you need something here. You need patience. You need consistency. You need to be consistent with it. You need to be hard on yourself. You know, just think of treating yourself as like, you know, there's a wild horse, and you want, you know, to handle the horse. You have to be sometimes patient, sometimes tough, you know. That's what you need to do with yourself. Be hard on yourself. Just do it and you'll see. Sometimes you need to be patient. Choose something that you like more. There are several ways. Just try and get to that consistency. Because at the end, it's just a habit. It will become a habit. Ask those who pray for 20 years, how do you like praying? How do you find it?
I don't know. I just do it like breathing. It's just part of me. I can't change it anymore. And it can even become an addiction. Some people are addicted to smoking, to alcohol. You can be addicted to something good, to praying, to reciting Quran, to serving the community. You can see some people around us. They are addicted. They don't stop. They always do something for the community. Always arrange something, you know. Prepare for Eid. I don't know. Prepare for a dirt. They never stop because they are addicted to it. They are blessed by it. And this is the level you want to reach with yourself. Think of the praise as something that you need. Think of worship as a fundamental issue. It's a matter of life and death. You need it. Then you will never find it difficult to pray. And even if you do, that will be something short, you know. Because we're still humans. We will still make sins. We will still do bad things. But at least we will not give up. Ask yourself all the time. حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Question yourself. What I'm doing at this moment, I'm sitting watching TV. What am I watching? Is it going to please Allah? Okay, is it time to pray? Because there's always a time to pray. You pray continuously. You never stop. That's why you're always connected to Allah. So at any minute, ask yourself, okay, what I'm doing, is it preventing me from doing something good? Is it something bad in its nature? You might realize that you're doing something bad and you would still do it. But that doesn't mean you're giving up. Just that knowledge that you're doing something bad means you're not feeling good with it. Means you're not getting what you're supposed to be getting from that sin. The shaitan will make sins look good to you. Look nice, you know, look exciting. But when you have that feeling of guilt, you will hate yourself for that sin. You will lie, and then you will hate yourself for lying. You might even commit adultery, but you will hate yourself for that. And you will come back to Allah. Because Allah becomes the center of your gravity. He will gravitate you. You can try and escape, you know. Stop praying, He'll bring you back. Alcohol, He'll bring you back. Whatever, He'll bring you back. That's why the Prophet ﷺ was told, so and so drinks, so and so commits adultery. The Prophet ﷺ only asked one question. Does he pray? They said yes. Qala da'uh, leave him. It will stop him. Because he is connected to the source, to the center of his gravity. Allah will get him back at the end. That's what you want to get from this religion. Always, when we say question yourself and be consistent, what does that mean on our everyday lives? We can read in the Quran in Surah Taha, إِنَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Allah said, those who follow my guidance will not go astray, will not have to fear, to worry. So, the more you are trying and the more you are getting the wisdom of it, the more you are protected by Allah. Then you have that sense of secure. No worries about tomorrow. No fear for the future. Only satisfaction, peace and quiet. And you don't need to worry about the meaning of life. You have it inside of you. On the other hand, فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Those who turn their backs from the mentioning of Allah, from Him, from the purpose of their creation, Allah has guaranteed they will live a miserable life. He didn't say they will be poor. They may be rich. He didn't say they will be sick. They may be healthy. But they will not enjoy anything of it. You see, this is the choice you need to make. Between that sense of secure, that peace of mind, and that misery. And that's between trying, putting an effort, thinking of what you're doing, getting the wisdom, putting an effort, accepting it as your role, and ignoring everything. And at the day of judgment, it will all be there anyway. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم. اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا. اللهم ربنا اشف مرضى المسلمين وارحم موتى المسلمين واغن فقراء المسلمين وارفع البلاء والغلاء عن ديار المسلمين. اللهم ربنا عافنا واعف عنا. ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا. ربنا اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك يا رب العالمين. اللهم وصلي وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله في الأولين والآخرين. أقم الصلاة.